But let's start here. So Nick Foles was not the answer. Mitch Trubisky, not the answer. So let's make Fentress Ryan Pace. So after a 2-year absence because of the Khalil Mack trade, they do have a first round pick. So how big a move would you be willing to make to get Deshaun Watson in Chicago?
Take it all. Take the entire draft. You have our entire draft and first round pick because we're going to screw him up anyway. So just take him.
Yeah, you sound like that year that Ditka traded his draft for Ricky Williams and then went to Hawaii when he was with New Orleans.
That was amazing. No, I would give up. I'd give that up. I don't know if Houston would even take it because the Bears draft pick isn't that bad. 20th, I think. And
yeah.
If you give them Watson, you think they're going to be pretty solid. So the second number one pick isn't going to be that great. I think they're going to get better offers if the Jets are in on it. Then you're looking at a top. The Jets are number two, right? So you
yep.
get number two pick maybe. So you can draft the quarterback. So I don't think the Bears are going to be in it. Nor do I think Watson wants to come to Chicago. The Chicago Bears completely disrespected Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
They didn't even talk to the guy.
Unbelievable.
They didn't even interview him. They didn't even sit down with him. They did sit down with Mahomes. And to be fair, sometimes people distort history. But at the time of the draft, Watson was not considered a lock, star. Mahomes wasn't either. I mean, the Chiefs traded up to get him. But it's not like people were like, oh, Mahomes is going to be amazing. He played in the whacked out system that people thought might not translate to the NFL. He was kind of, wild a little bit. So I could see where people were like, Trubisky actually had a really good final year. He only threw 6 picks, whereas Watson threw 17 picks. But Watson did, he had that national championship game against Alabama. But he also had the knee injury. So, there were actually legitimate reasons for the Bears to fall in love with Trubisky and like him. The problem is it just blew up in their face, obviously. But if I'm Deshaun Watson and Ryan Pace wants to find out if I'm willing to waive my no-trade clause, because he's demanded a trade, but he can pick where he wants to go because he has a no-trade clause. So it's kind of funky that way, right? Although, I think there's a little bit too much of that because if you're Houston and you say, look, if you want out, you can't just tell us you're going to go 2 teams because we'll just keep you. What kind of threat is that, right? What's Deshaun Watson going to say? Trade me or else. Or else what?
Right.
You're gonna sit out if we send you where you want to go? Then you're not going to sit out. You're going to complain with us or you're going to lose all that money. So anyway, that's a little overblown, I think. But if I'm him, I'm not going to Chicago. What's Ryan Pace going to say to him? Hey, Deshaun, we'd love to trade for you. You could have drafted me, dumbass. what do you mean? You'd love to get me. You could have drafted me. You traded up to get someone else, and you never even talked to me. You never brought me in for an interview. I won the national championship. I beat Nick Saban in Alabama, and you wouldn't even talk to me. And now you want me? Click.
Yeah, if the Bears tried to contact him, he should have a representative of his show up and go, psych, and walk out of the room.
That would be epic. So I don't think there's any chance in heck it's going to happen.
All right. Now, let's get back to Championship Sunday. One of the big stories, of course, Matt LaFleur, the Pack, decides to kick a field goal when he still needed a touchdown. You're talking about the Packers had the best red zone touchdown offense in the league. So it's easy now to talk about it, but at the time, what was your read of taking the ball out of the hands of your MVP and Hall of Famer and deciding that you're going to kick, timeout, get the ball back and still score a touchdown with no timeouts left that late?
Yeah, I think people blow out of proportion some of the fourth down decisions coaches make because it's very easy from the press box, from home, or from the stands to say, go for it, right? Just go for it. Doesn't matter, go for it. But in that situation, when they sent the field kicker out, I was just like, okay, wait a minute. You're just making it, it's already a one-position game. You're making it a one-position game, but you do win with a touchdown if you get the ball back. It's 2:09 remaining, and you do have 3 timeouts, but you cannot allow them to get a first down. If they get at least one first down, then best-case scenario, you're going to get the ball back with maybe 30 seconds left and no timeouts and still need, a touchdown. Worst case, they get 2 first downs and it's over. You never have the ball back, and you have Aaron Rodgers. If you go for it and you don't get it, you still can try and stop them, correct?
Yeah.
And you have them pinned deeper than when you kicked off to them. So you have them pinned deeper, you can try and stop them and still go for the touchdown and the 2-point conversion. So you know, I was perplexed by why they did that. And of course, the other problem is you're banking on slowing down, or you're banking on not allowing Tom Brady to get one first down to beat you.
Yes,
you know? It's like, do I want to be put in that situation? You know, I got to stop Tom Brady from getting a first down to pretty much beat me. I'm not putting myself in that position. I'm going for the score. If I don't get it, then I still have to try and stop him. But at least I gave myself, my MVP quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best ever, a chance to score on fourth and goal. It was fourth and 10, right?
Well, yeah, well, it was fourth and goal from the 9 or the 8 yards.
From the 9, okay. I was perplexed by it. It was a bad decision for sure.
And I was watching with Packer fans.
What were they doing?
Not happy. And one with my grandson.
Bring back McCarthy.
No, my grandson had his Clay Matthews jersey on. My daughter-in-law had her Aaron Rodgers jersey on. It was not a happy household. That's all I could tell you.
Well, if I'd have been there, I'd have been in the corner snickering as a Bears fan.
Yeah, obviously. I'm talking with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. After the game, I thought there was an interesting point. You know, Brady, because he's Brady, you get the big praise. But I think you actually mentioned, you know, he did throw 3 interceptions, and I do get his resume is silly. But if Tampa's defense doesn't rise up, those interceptions could have been really damaging. So maybe folks doling out some credit in the wrong direction?
Well, we have an affinity for quarterbacks in our society, and it's something that has driven me nuts. I may have told you this before, but when the Steelers beat the Rams in Super Bowl 14 and Terry Bradshaw got MVP, even though he threw 3 picks, I was one ticked off little 11-year-old. I was ready to march on the streets and protest because I couldn't believe it. So ever since then, whenever a quarterback gets an MVP just because he's a quarterback, it just drives me bananas. This wasn't an MVP situation, but clearly he was given a lot of praise because of who he is. But I felt like people were glossing over the fact that he did throw 3 picks. Now, one you could say was a 3rd and long. He just threw it up and happened to get picked. Maybe it's just like a punt, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is the defense won that game because the defense went into Lambeau and shut down Aaron Rodgers and kept him from taking advantage of multiple opportunities in the second half, even when they were down. Like, it was 28-11 at one point, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so they came back, and they had the ball with a chance to go down and take the lead, I think twice before being down 8, and then they had a chance to go down and tie it there when they got stopped them on 4th down. So you had Aaron Rodgers in the red zone for 4 straight plays, and you got them to kick a field goal, plus the other stop. So the defense, to me, was mostly responsible for winning that game. Tom Brady's 3 touchdowns, one that beautiful one he threw to Evans was awesome. The one to the little receiver, Miller?
Yeah.
That was bad coverage. That was bad defense. That was a gift. And then the other touchdown pass came off of a turnover where they got the ball, like, right inside the 10 or whatever. So, not that he didn't have a good game. He did, other than the picks. But, to me, this one of the situations where clearly the defense won that game. And then people are going on this whole, it's got to be, you know, a chance to marginalize Belichick, right? This proves that Belichick, Bob, doesn't prove Jack. It just proves that Tampa Bay already had the better team. They had the better weapons. They just had to get rid of the quarterback that threw 30 picks, swap him in with an all-time great, and boom, you're a contender. Whereas New England, we all knew, had issues. They had issues last year as well. This doesn't prove anything in terms of who's better, who's more important between Belichick and Brady. That's just silly to me. But I do think the Tampa Bay defense won that game, not Tom Brady.
All right, couple final thoughts for Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. So the Seahawks dumped their offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, a kind of a sour finish to the season. And the guy they brought in, Shane Waldron, is actually a Portland guy. Been with the Rams the past 4 seasons, obviously done some nice work there. So I guess what's the buzz about his hire?
Well, you know, people like anyone who comes from the McVay tree, regardless of the fact that the offensive genius label should have been yanked away after that Super Bowl, and right, since then, Goff has regressed. That's another thing that drives me nuts, when coaches are labeled geniuses without a Super Bowl ring. Like, to me, you're not a genius unless you at least have 1 ring. Then you can enter the discussion. If you don't have a ring, you can't be a genius just because you had a really good offense 1 season. Anyway, that's another conversation. So he's coming from that tree, which is nice. You know, but he was the passing game coordinator, and he wasn't calling plays. I'm sure he offered a lot to McVay. I think sometimes the supporting staff doesn't get enough credit in terms of the whole play calling thing, because play calling really is determined during the week when you set up your game plan. I'm sure he was involved in that a lot. I'm sure he's going to bring some interesting different ideas. I think at the end of the day, though, no matter what happens, if they succeed, it's Russell Wilson. If they don't, fire the coordinator. That's the Seahawks pattern. That's how it's always been. So, to me, it's just literally just you're changing the cast in the exact same play. That's going to play out the exact same way. Just because you change one of the actors doesn't mean it's going to be necessarily different. At the end of the day, you know, the coordinator, to me, here's another thing. Someone was griping about Bevel, right? Schottenheimer, he at least was better than Bevel. I'm like, oh, Bevel, the one that got a Super Bowl ring?
There you go.
Yeah, but it wasn't, we should have run the ball. We ran the ball too much. Ran the ball too much as in the beast mode Marshawn Lynch that all Seahawks fans love is going to be a Hall of Famer because they ran the ball. That guy? So you guys love beast mode, but you just didn't want him to get the ball more? I mean, I don't understand. And then Schottenheimer, Wilson had three of his four best seasons ever under Schottenheimer, statistically. But he had to go, right? Because the second half of the season wasn't good. So anyway, this guy's sacrificial lamb, the next one. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, and he's going to get blown out in 1 or 2 years.
All right. And we wrap with the Ducks, a coordinator, the other side of the ball. We know Avalos went back to Boise, and again, Coach Cristobal goes outside the program, enter Tim DeRuiter, who just they made it official now, but costing them Keith Hayward, because it's obvious he wants to be a coordinator, is now a coordinator. You spend time with him, you know, a master recruiter. So incorporating all of that, what's your read on letting Hayward go and hiring DeRuiter?
Well, clearly, Cristobal does not want to hire a coordinator that doesn't have coordinating experience, regardless of all the experience they do have on their resume. Hayward got passed over the first time for Avalos. Clearly, that worked out well. But he stuck around. He bided his time. 2 years went by. He did have his fingers all over the defense. Avalos leaves, and Keith wasn't even really a viable candidate, from what I understood. They hired another guy with a lot of experience who's done a good job. It's a good hire. There's no doubt about that. But if you're Keith and you're at a place where you know the head coach is not going to give you a chance to become a coordinator, and that's your goal, because his goal is to be a head coach, so next step is coordinator. If that's your goal, then you have to leave. Like, you can't stay at a place where you know the head guy is not going to give you that opportunity. And so he's going to go to Cal and, from what I understand, be a position coach and try and get some different experiences there and try and find a different avenue. And I don't think he wanted to just stick around Oregon and be a chief recruiter, you know, and just that's all he is, just a recruiter and coach a position, and we're never going to give you an opportunity to advance. So he's out, and it's going to hurt, man. He's a really good coordinator. He brought Kayvon Thibodeau to Oregon, period. I know some people have challenged that. No. I've talked to Kayvon's mom. She said straight up he would not have gone to Oregon had Keith not been there, period, end of story. There's other recruits he has been instrumental in, especially in California. He's a big, heavy hitter down there. They already lost the cornerbacks coach. He went to USC, who's a big, heavy hitter in Southern California as well. So now they lose Keith. So we'll see if it's worth it in the long run to not have given him a shot. We all know, I mean, you know, you can make the argument, how much does experience matter? Well, you know, the Chicago Bears, not that they're the pillar of decision-making, since we just talked about the Deshaun Watson fiasco, but they made their safeties coach defensive coordinator. The Ducks, Scott Frost, was a wide receivers coach. He became offensive coordinator. This happens a lot when people go from position coach to coordinator. Apparently not in Oregon, so Keith is out.
Yep, and we'll see how this plays out. I've had him on the show a couple times. He's an awesome guy. He is Aaron Fentress on Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress, doing it for the Oregonian. Always enjoy our chats. You have a good week, good weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy.